Hello, it's Friday, August 13th, and this is the Tanchima Report. You're tuned in to CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick. The CHMA studio is located in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm your host, Meg Cunningham. Here's what's coming up on the show today. Bruce Wark of Wark Times interviews Dave Whiteman, PC candidate of Fort Cumberland North in Nova Scotia. An Pham is bringing Vietnamese food to the Sackville Farmers Market with their brand new business, The Vietnamese Kitchen. And Dr. Jennifer Russell is pushing parents and guardians of kids 12 and older to get two shots of a COVID-19 vaccine before school starts next month. Kids are back to class on September 7th this year, just under a month away, and nearly 19,000 students aged 12 to 19 are still completely unvaccinated against COVID-19. New Brunswick's Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Jennifer Russell, says that parents and guardians should sign their children up for shots right away, especially since there's a 2-week waiting period after the second dose before full immunity is achieved. Right now, just over half of kids aged 12 to 19 are fully vaccinated, while 16.6% have just one dose. Meanwhile, just under 30% have no doses at all. Education and Early Childhood Development Minister Dominique Carty promises that guidelines for the upcoming school year will come out by the end of next week. He says the goal is to make the school year as close to a normal year as possible in the face of challenges from the Delta variant. He echoed Dr. Russell's concern for unvaccinated students, including those who can't be vaccinated at all yet since no vaccines are approved for kids under 12 years old as of today. Parents and guardians can book an appointment at a regional health authority clinic or a pharmacy, and they can also be vaccinated at a walk-in clinic if that particular clinic is administering Pfizer. As for new cases today, there are 11 in total, 9 of which are in the Moncton region. Unlike previous updates, the cases vary in age from under 19 to someone in their 50s, as opposed to the majority of the cases being people in their 20s and 30s. 3 of them are contacts of a previously reported case, but the other 6 are under investigation. The other 2 cases are in the St. John region, which are both travel-related. There is still nobody in the hospital, and a whopping 14 people have recovered since Wednesday, so the active case count actually dropped to 68, despite the new cases. Remember to check the exposure notification list for Zone 1, because more and more Moncton locations continue to pop up on that list, with a particular emphasis on bars and restaurants. We unfortunately have to warn listeners about high temperatures again today, but this time it's actually a level 2 warning as opposed to a level 1 like it was on Wednesday and Thursday. A level 2 warning means that everyone is at more risk for heat stroke or heat exhaustion, not just those who are elderly or young kids or those with pre-existing medical conditions. That said, it's important to make sure to check in with your vulnerable friends and family members today to make sure they have everything they need and to make sure that they're feeling well. If you're going out and about, wear loose-fitting and light-colored clothing, and maybe even a hat and sunglasses. Don't leave any people, especially children and elderly people, or pets in a parked car. Thankfully, Sackville has many trees around, which are accessible to most. Some places where you can sit out of the sun without spending any cash are at the Bill Johnson Memorial Park and the Mount Allison Swan Pond. Unhoused people will have a more difficult time cooling off, since most places require a purchase to get out of the sun. If you notice someone who is unhoused and in the heat, you can offer them a cool towel, a hat, or an umbrella to keep the heat off them. If you have some, you can also hand out some ice packs. When talking to someone who's unhoused, point them towards a public place they can go to get some shade. If you are unhoused and you need some help getting relief from the heat today, please head to the Sackville Commons co-working space at 18 Lawrence Street. They can direct you to a place to cool off or grab you some supplies. You can also get water from the booster pump at 202 Main Street to splash on yourself or to drink. There's a brand new booth at the Sackville Farmers Market, selling fresh hot Vietnamese food to go. The Vietnamese Kitchen is run by An Pham, an international student studying commerce at Mount Allison. Pham was encouraged by her Canadian host family and by her boyfriend to take her cooking from home to the Bill Johnson Memorial Park. They insisted that she share her cooking with the rest of Sackville.
So I started my business last summer, which is not like underground, because I live with my house mom. She's Canadian, and I live here for like two years. And then I start to make her like Vietnamese food so that she know more about my culture and my cuisine. And then she have tried the barbecue pork from Mr. Lee at the restaurant. And then she asked me to make it for her. And then I said, okay, I'm gonna make it for her. And then she tried. And then like she loved my food. And she said like it's better than like in the restaurant, because like mine is like more authentic, you know? Yeah, like my like more about the flavor. And then she let like her try, and then her grandson try it, and her grandson said like, oh, you should start a business of making like Vietnamese food. I'm like, oh well, because like that time I didn't do anything much in the summer, so I start to make food and sell for like family, like her family and like her friends.
Pham just started the Vietnamese kitchen last Saturday, and she has already seen massive success. She sold out of nearly everything within the first hour of the market being open.
I just started the market. So the day that you messaged Michael is the first day we at the market. Pretty good. Like we start at 9 a.m., right? So the market open at 9 to 12. So we sell the food in 1 hour, like 9 to 10. And then we run out of everything. And we just spring roll left. And then the guys came and then asked for, is anything else left that I can buy? I'm like, just spring roll, you want to get it? And he said, oh yeah, I'm going to get it all. And then we sell out of everything.
Pham has been cooking since she was a child, around the second grade, to help her busy household keep up with mealtimes. Her family, especially her mother, who is a successful business owner, has inspired her journey into the business world.
Now, I cook when I was like in grade 2, because like my family back in Vietnam is like so busy, and they taught me how to cook when I was young so that I can help my family. And that's why I love cooking like every day. Every day I cook for myself rather than go out. And then so I've been here like when I was 16, and I live with my host mom, right? So I always cook good food for her and she love it. And like always helps because she work a lot, and then I want to help her something, and I just cook good food for her, make her happy. I've been here for high school, and then I go to university because like my mom also have a business. I inspired by my mom because like she has a business of coffee and tea, you know, roasted coffee. So she bought the coffee from the farmer and then processes like from the coffee bean that they pick from the tree. Yeah, she bought from the farmer and then processes to the roasted coffee, and then also teach you. So she has a business of that, and then she has, you know, the fertilizer and pesticide for the tree. So yeah, my mom has the business of that, and I want to expand her business. So that's why I asked her like, can I go study abroad, and then I'm gonna study and then go back home and help her. Yeah, so she like, okay, I'm gonna send you to Canada at 16 years old. Yeah, and now I'm 19 years old, yeah. So I always try to make my Vietnamese food, like Vietnamese cuisine, so that they know more about Vietnamese culture and Vietnamese food. And our traditional is pho, if you know well for some reason. Yeah. So it's our traditional food. But beside that, they don't know about the vermicelli. And vermicelli is also the part of traditional Vietnamese traditional food. So I want to bring the vermicelli, not only the vermicelli. I'm going to try to change the menu so that they can try like every food Vietnam has, you know? Yeah. So not only the vermicelli.
She will be applying for an internship through Mount Allison University to hopefully expand her business and start a food truck.
Like the goal for me for the Vietnamese kitchen is to apply for the internship at the school. So when I have the fun, I'm gonna open the food truck. So that like, yeah, so then like I can drive the place, every place, and then bring the Vietnamese food to the people here.
This Saturday, she let us know that there will be a vegan option alongside the barbecued chicken and pork, which will be marinated and spiced tofu. Find Pham at the Sackville Farmers Market this Saturday between 9 and noon, and maybe head there sooner rather than later, given that she sold out within the first hour last Saturday. Cumberland North is one of the more interesting ridings to watch on the August 17th Nova Scotia election. The mainly rural riding butts up against Nova Scotia's border with New Brunswick, and Amherst is its main town. The political scene there was thrown into turmoil in June when the Progressive Conservatives expelled their member of the legislature for supporting blockades on the Trans-Canada Highway during the COVID-19 pandemic. Former PC Elizabeth Smith-McCrossan is now running for re-election as an independent. She's up against veteran Member of Parliament Bill Casey, who came out of retirement to run for the Liberals, while Lauren Skibar, daughter of former MLA Brian Skibar, is trying to win Cumberland North for the NDP. The Progressive Conservative campaign got off to a slow start as the party took a while to name the new candidate. Dave Whiteman has now stepped up to run for the PCs. Whiteman acknowledges, however, that he doesn't have as much local support as he could have because a lot of party members have joined the Smith-McCrossan campaign. With a report on the Progressive Conservative campaign in Cumberland North, here's CHMA reporter Bruce Wark.
The Progressive Conservative candidate in Cumberland North, David Whiteman, is well known to the listeners of CFDA, the Amherst Community Radio Station. Whiteman has been a volunteer CFDA radio host almost from the time the station went on the air 10 years ago. During an interview at his home in Amherst, Whiteman and I talk about the issues in the August 17th Nova Scotia election, but also about our mutual interest in community radio. He tells me he's been involved with a number of stations in Nova Scotia, even though most of his working life was spent as a teacher and then as a corrections officer, working with inmates in Spring Hill and at the women's prison in Truro. Whiteman says he had to retire from corrections work in 2009 after suffering a stroke that affected his ability to read and to speak. He says that joining CFTA as a volunteer announcer helped him recover.
It was almost, it wasn't almost, it was for sure a little bit of an occupational health and therapy thing for me as the, you know, the reading and the speaking and the you know, getting organized and doing things, because it was a long haul after the stroke as far as reading was concerned. And by this time radio was computerized and digitalized and buttonized, and you bring up your music and it's already inputted there, the commercials are there, and hit the button and say, "Hi, I'm Dave Whiteman, and the tide will be high at 6 o'clock at the Amber Shore, and we got the Bee Gees up next."
David Whiteman says he felt it was important for him to step away from his broadcasting career to run for the Progressive Conservatives in Cumberland North because certain issues matter a lot to him. One of those issues is health care.
Healthcare issues are very near and dear to my heart for a couple of reasons. My mother was, increasingly elderly, and health concerns sort of became a big thing for her. It was a, and then the fact is that when she's out of the hospital, where does she go for her long-term care? And my father was the administrator of the nursing home in Sackville, the Drew Nursing Home in Sackville, for many years. You know, I got to know a lot of the seniors in there, and long-term care was certainly an issue to make sure that the people that I had sort of grown up to know a little bit, that, you know, hopefully with long-term care, we're all going to get there someday. So that's certainly a concern. And again, the healthcare thing, I'm a stroke survivor and my wife's a cancer survivor. So we've certainly been through our run-of-the-mill activities in hospital.
David Whiteman compares the problems he sees in the Nova Scotia healthcare system to a line of falling dominoes. He mentions those problems, including overcrowded emergency rooms, shortages of doctors and nurses, as well as ambulance delays.
Being a first responder with the fire department, you're a first-hand fella waiting in line with your patients, helping out the paramedics and ambulance drivers, you know, looking after patients on the side of the road while we wait for the ambulance to show up, because they're busy loading, unloading, moving patients from place to place. Can't unload the ambulance fast enough because the ERs are backed up with people, and then the wards are backed up with people that perhaps should be long-term care patients and properly cared for in that aspect. And it's just one domino after another that doesn't seem to work quite right. And is, you know, no nurses and not enough nurses, not enough doctors, and too many people working too many hours, and just staff tired out. And that certainly became my number one issue.
When I asked David Whiteman what a progressive conservative government would do to solve the shortage of doctors and nurses, he talks about recruiting more foreign doctors and making it easier for them to join the Nova Scotia healthcare system. He also talks about ways of training more licensed practical nurses, or LPNs, as well as more RNs, or registered nurses.
As every person that's ever been involved in every election, I think all the politicians do is throw money at it, and I guess it's kind of the same thing. Yes, money's going to be involved, but there has to be some money sent to the right places. And one of the big issues that I appreciated is that the foreign trained doctors are going to have the opportunity to be expedited and trained and put into the healthcare system in Nova Scotia here, where the doctors are coming from all around the world. And increasing money for educations, for LPNs, RNs, I think we could probably do something pretty quick with the community college system. You know, bump up our number of LPNs that are being trained, and throw some incentives at that, and know that, you know, if you get 5 years in as an LPN, then you can perhaps return to a university in Nova Scotia and bump yourself up to an RN. You know, make a plan for these people to help them accelerate their career. It's going to accelerate their source of income, you know, and then they can plan a life.
I wanted to ask you, you're not getting any younger. I'm certainly not getting any younger. So I'm kind of interested in long-term care. And I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that, because you identified the problem of too many hospital beds being occupied by elderly patients who should be in long-term care. What's the solution there?
Well, again, the Conservative Party under Mr. Hewson has advocated that there will be 2,500 new or renovated long-term care beds in Nova Scotia within 3 years. Now, that's going to go a long way to helping out to move the people along through the system, out of the hospital beds, into the long-term care beds, where the nurses and the physiotherapists and everybody that works in care for the elderly can do their job, and the nurses in the hospitals can do their jobs. the monies and the taxes. I know they've talked about a tax, $2 per 100 assessment for people that have like summer places, summer homes in Nova Scotia, but live outside of the province. That's not going to solve all the problem financially, but it'll go a long way, you know, if it's managed correctly. And I think there's going to be a big push. I think the COVID crisis has really rung the bell for a lot of people that the time for inaction is over, because we just cannot continue on the, I mean, the Liberals in the last 8 years of power have really, in my opinion, and you can look at the statistic that there was 20, 30,000 Nova Scotians without doctors when this started, and now there's 71,000, I think, is the number as of a couple of days ago. I mean, that's, if that's not a symptom of or a sign of inaction to fix the problem. And I believe Stephen McNeil even stood up and said in one of his campaigns, that probably his first campaign, that he said everybody would have a family doctor by the end of his, and we're nowhere near where we need to be with that. It's, and, you know, and it's getting worse, and it, unless there's serious action taken, like being able to hire the foreign trained doctors in a quicker manner, that makes more sense, more common sense, and people look at things that are overburdened by administration, and again, the average man and woman on the street are just shaking their head that where's the common sense in having somebody that's trained as a neurologist or whatever type of doctor, or just, as I said, just family doctor, where is the common sense in that man or woman driving a taxi?
David Whiteman's campaign for the Progressive Conservatives in Cumberland North got off to a slow start after the PCs expelled Elizabeth Smith McCrossan, partly for taking part in blocking the Trans-Canada Highway on June 22nd. People were upset after Nova Scotia Premier Ian Rankin suddenly announced the provincial border would not be reopening the next day as planned. On June 23rd, protesters blocked the border crossing itself, while Smith McCrossan was in Halifax in a futile attempt to meet with Rankin. The border blockade generated bad publicity in the Halifax media, and when Smith McCrossan refused to condemn it, PC leader Tim Houston kicked her out of the party. She's now running as an independent candidate. David Whiteman says he's getting strong support from the party, including signs, campaign literature, and communications advice, but he acknowledges that support locally from PCs is not as strong as it could have been.
I've got a little support team in place here. It certainly isn't what it was because of the incident that happened at the border and the subsequent, you know, getting rid of Elizabeth through the party, and it's unfortunate. I mean, if that hadn't happened, I certainly wouldn't be there. I'd be sitting on the sidelines helping out, probably. But now that it's happened, and I don't think there's any going back. It's time to move on. There was no conservative candidate in Cumberland North for a few weeks there. Well, everybody was kind of going, what are we going to do next? And what are we going to do next? And I made a couple of phone calls and had a couple of interviews, and make a long story short, I ended up as the candidate, and I've got signs, like I told you earlier, I'm heading to Pugwash and Wallace later this afternoon to get some signs around Pugwash Wallace, and I've had some pamphlets in the doors and handed out to people around, and I've got another bulk mail out coming probably about Wednesday, Thursday next week that should arrive in the mailboxes of everybody in Amherst, and then we're going to hit the shoreline along from Pugwash to Tignish if we don't run out of time.
My impression is that Elizabeth Smith McCrossan was a real retail politician. She was well-liked here and was doing a good job fighting for the people of Cumberland. Cumberland North and Cumberland County. And so I don't know how you would describe the situation, but it is hard for you as a PC going up against her, I guess, and the whole situation. But I don't know how you would describe it yourself.
I've had conversations with Elizabeth, and I said I out and out told her one day that when she was done with provincial politics, I wouldn't mind picking up the reins, and then this was months before the bomb hit, and I think Elizabeth she's made the decision to go to an independent, although I understand she had the chance with Mr. Houston and the caucus to talk and perhaps issue an apology. I wasn't in the room. I don't know. She chose not to do that because she thought she was saying sorry for what she'd done to the people of Cumberland North. And I don't know if the people of Cumberland North expected an apology. And I would have liked to have seen that work out. But again, water under the bridge, it did not. And that put me in the position where I am today, representing the people of Cumberland North as a Conservative candidate. You know, Elizabeth stepped across a line that she couldn't step back across. And it got her into some trouble with her party. And does everybody in Cumberland North wish it hadn't happened? Well, I can't answer that either. I don't speak for everybody in Cumberland North. But it certainly would have been easier on us as the voters in Cumberland North if it hadn't have happened. Was she popular? Without a doubt, I'd say she's popular. But again, August 17th will give us a number on how and what and who, and then there's Mr. Casey that kind of shocked everybody when his name was brought forth for the Liberals. And I must confess, I was shocked when I heard that Mr. Casey was going to run as a Liberal. I just said, well, Mr. Rankin has brought in a heavy gun to deal with a heavy gun, and they're bringing out the heavy artillery here to see who's going to walk away with that seat, and I'm certainly not a heavy gun in this election.
Dave Whiteman may not consider himself a heavy gun, but he still says he's hoping to win for the Progressive Conservatives on August 17th. If he doesn't, who knows? Maybe he'll go back to spinning the tunes on the radio. When I ask for his all-time favorite tune and how he would introduce it on his show, Whiteman responds this way.
This is my personal number one song of all time, and I was fortunate enough to see the Eagles perform this song live at the Hill in Moncton. The Eagles, One of These Nights.
For CHMA News, this is Bruce Wark reporting.
That's all for the Tantrum Hour Report this week. If you have any tips or feedback for us, please email us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Meg Cunningham. Thank you for listening.